tres años sobreviví y en el parque de los olvidados vimos niños jugando a la guerra de mentira apuntándose con los dedos. Te tomé de la mano, cruzamos esos disparos riendo. Mira todo lo que superamos. Cuánto esperé para entender lo que
sabes. It is time for Talking Music on KVNF, your Mountain Grown Community Radio. I am your host, Taya J. Joined today on the show by Enrique Chi of the Kansas City-based band Making Movies. Enrique, welcome to the KVNF Airwaves. Thank you so much for joining us.
Oh, thank you for having me. We're excited to be here in Colorado. This is the most we've played in Colorado in the history of the band. I'm excited. It's fun.
Awesome. How does Colorado feel as a musical landscape? What's the reception been for you guys?
The reception has been great. We were just discussing, we just played Rocky Mountain Folks Festival. And I said it on stage, and I remember the feeling. I remember that I said it because I had thought to say it. I thought it was important to say. And then when I said it, I actually felt the well of emotion of saying it. Our band, we sing in English and in Spanish. And a lot of the music is in Spanish, especially the latest record. I felt inspired to do that. We had found it challenging to connect to the kind of roots folk community in the United States. In some little ways we'd connected, but the major folk festivals hadn't invited us the way that Rocky Mountain Folks did. That was actually the first time in the United States. We were just doing those festivals in Canada. We just did them in Australia, and that was the first one in the United States. And the crowd reception was amazing. The compliments were amazing. After the set, we went to the merch table, and I could tell that there's a community of people open and ready to hear us, but we had never gotten the opportunity to play to them. And I felt moved in that moment. Like, this opens a doorway that I hadn't had open before, which is kind of profound. It's really cool.
I love to hear that. I think it's interesting, you know, people hear folk, and I think there's a traditional understanding or belief in what folk music is. And I think the conversation I'm having more and more with musicians is just how important it is not to be confined by genre, that we're actually really limiting ourselves to call ourselves one thing or another. And so it's cool to watch festivals moving in a direction that is hopefully more inclusive.
I agree with that. And I think that, you know, that idea of folk music had gotten pigeonholed into a certain group of people's folk music. And anything outside of that didn't work. I remember, I mean, I'm wearing my own T-shirt right now. We have a festival in Kansas City called Celebrate Americana. We misspell the word Americana the way you would phonetically pronounce it in Spanish, which doesn't have the same meaning in Spanish. In Spanish, it just means something from the Americas. But Americana, obviously, in the U.S., connotates like music and art from the United States, right? Like kind of authentic stuff. Well, we're playing this venue in Oklahoma. We were on tour with Hooray for the Riff Raff, a great Americana artist. And this venue, like after our set, apologized to me, said, I have to apologize to you. I'm the owner of this venue. I was trying to not let you all play. I said that this music wouldn't work here. We're an Americana venue, and it's not going to work. Just Spanish language, I think, was the trigger. And it was in Oklahoma, and he said, I stand corrected. Y'all were great, and the audience really loved it. We've had those experiences which inspired us to curate our own festival, saying, doesn't Americana, or whatever, however you want to say the word, shouldn't it represent a broader picture of what comes from the United States? And I've always identified more with like a punk scene, to be frank, because of this kind of do-it-yourself ethos. Like, we didn't build a festival because we wanted to be festival producers. We built a festival because there was no festival that would invite us locally in the Midwest, because we're so outside the norm. And when we built a music camp for immigrant community in that kind of punk ethos. But actually, if I zoom out, that's the same ethos as the folk community. It's like, let's do this ourselves, let's build stuff for community, and let's have music be a way to share our identity with each other, not necessarily a way to make commerce. And that's not so different from, I was thinking of it more of a punk lens, but it's kind of the same thing.
I appreciate you sharing that. I also love that anecdote of an individual being able to admit that maybe they were wrong, and that you hold the potential to change somebody's mind is a really powerful and important thing.
Thank you. Yeah, and that was a beautiful moment, and that helped inspire some of the work that we do. And then there's this other element where the energy of this band is kind of a rock and roll energy and kind of rowdy, but I very proudly play a folkloric instrument from Panama, a mejorana, and I'm one of the few folks who take it out of the country. My teacher does for big like folklore festivals in different parts of Latin America and Spain. In the U.S., I'm not sure if anybody's playing one. And so it's important for me to show this other part of folk music that is just from Central America, even though I grew up right in the smack center of the United States.
That's Sopa from Making Movies, Enrique Chi of the band joining me today on Talkin' Music. Can we back up for a second and for our listeners talk a little bit about you all as a band? You're comprised of four members. Can we talk about what each individual member brings to the sound and the quality and the intention of Making Movies?
Yeah, so the band was formed now it's been about 15 years ago where I started really performing under the name Making Movies, and there's been a bit of a rotating cast. Part of the energy of what we do is to bring out the Panamanian folkloric roots through that. We've had a percussionist, Juan Carlos Chauran, has been in the project the whole time, and he's from a Mexican-American family, but fell in love with Caribbean rhythms and also Mexican folklore as well. He danced baile folclórico and stuff. And then for many years, my brother played in the band. Now we have Arthur de Paula on bass. And Arthur's from Brazil. The link with Mexico was interesting with Juan Carlos's family because the first time we toured in Panama, he realized that the folklore in Panama and the folklore in Mexico are super similar. They're like cousins. And we grew into the intention. The intention was always like be authentic and merge. We have lives that have two cultures or three cultures slamming into each other. And let's be honest about that with our music and not try to pretend like that's not how our lives are. I pick up one phone call and I'm in English, and the next one I was like, oh yeah, mama, como estas? You know, I mean, that's just how my life is. But we learned that there's like this amazing, almost like magical stew of music from the Caribbean, and I consider New Orleans the northernmost point of the Caribbean, and that there was a big link. Like, there wasn't a Twitter feed where somebody was like studying, or a TikTok where somebody's like studying the dance steps in Veracruz, Mexico, and then thousands of miles away looking at and imitating them in Panama. What it is that those ports were connected the last 400 or 500 years, and any ship that would enter the Caribbean would hit these like 5 ports on their way out. So they'd hit a port in Panama, a port in Mexico, a port in Colombia, Cuba, and New Orleans. I might have not nailed the merchant, you know, I'm not a historian, so, you know, excuse me if I didn't nail that. But conceptually, what I'm saying is, we have these nations that we've been given identity. We have these languages like English or Creole in New Orleans, and a Mexican style of Spanish that has a lot more indigenous words in it, and a Panamanian style of Spanish that has a lot more English and African words in it because of the stew of people. So you have these like language divides, national divides, but actually those cities, though maybe a little bit far by land, for that merchant route, they were all connected, and the music's connected. Mm-hmm. And so the music of New Orleans and the music of Panama have a link. And you're asking about the members. Duncan Burnett is from Kansas City, and he grew up playing black music at church, like gospel music. And we didn't really feel like a link to that as we grew up learning music until we started this band and we got to travel, realizing that, oh, the New Orleans thing that influenced all these American song forms actually is really interconnected to the Caribbean stuff. There's Cuban folks who are key parts of the jazz story. I found out like not that long, a couple of years ago, that Louis Armstrong's musical director was a Panamanian immigrant, a black guy. He just, in the photos, just looks like a black guy, but he's from Bocas del Toro, Panama. So our stories are all connected, and I think that's the intention that these folks, like having a Brazilian bass player, and Cito from Panama was on trombone on this tour with us, Duncan's from the United States, a Mexican-American percussionist. The message is, that is how this music is born. It's this soup of people that come together and find a common bond through music.
I love that. Thank you so much for sharing that. If you had to, do you feel like there's a word for that? Do you feel like that needs a word to kind of define what that connection is, what that interconnectedness is?
I'm not sure. I mean, maybe it's just music. You know, like music is kind of, to me, the deepest language we have. But our latest album is called Sopa, spelled with an X, because in Panama, everybody flips the language and text and stuff, and they say que sopa as what's up, like instead of que paso, like, wait, what's been going on? It's a normal way to greet somebody. They flip it, que sopa. And then they text culture, everybody misspells stuff on purpose, you know. So que sopa. And then sopa is just soup. And so I also feel like part of the message is just like accepting that we're all this big stew of humanity. I don't think there's one person on this planet. That's not true. There's got to be some folks on this planet that are still come from a very focused genetic line. There's not very, very few people in the Americas left, and likely none of the folks we're interacting with on a regular basis who aren't just a mix-mash of all kinds of stuff. It could be a bunch of European cultures, could be a bunch of a mix of indigenous cultures, African cultures, that are smashed together to make you who you are. I mean, we've been humans for 100,000 years, maybe longer, but we've been like traveling around the world for that long. We all carry with us this incredibly long and complex story, and that's music. You know, I mean, to me, that's what music is a way to express that.
Yeah, definitely. I think too, and maybe you can speak to this, you know, performing, singing in both English and Spanish, I think sometimes there is a power of music to evoke emotion, whether or not you understand what's being said or not. So I, as a native English speaker, can hear a song in Spanish and can feel a sense of the emotion that's behind it without understanding all of the words. How do you respond to that?
That's exactly my experience. So I moved to the United States when I was 6 years old, and my musical education was my father's record collection. He was unique in Panama for, you know, not singular, but not that common to have fallen in love with rock and roll. And so he had like some obscure stuff like Yes and Genesis and the Pink Floyd records and stuff like that. That's not that obscure, but like not just the pop hits. And he had all kinds of stuff. He also had, you know, the pop hits and whatnot, the Beatles and everything like that. And those vinyl, he taught me how to work the record player. And so at home, I would listen to the records. And my mom didn't really like rock and roll. She liked salsa music, merengue and all that. So I would often have to put on headphones, sit by the record player, and just put on one of my dad's vinyls and listen to it. And I remember before I knew how to speak English, I loved rock and roll music in English. And I would even sing it. And one of the bands, the Dire Straits, I remember loving as a little kid, and they have a record called Making Movies. That record, the fonts are identical on the front cover. But since I was listening to it a little bit out of time and place, I asked my dad, is this band called Making Movies? And they made an album called Dire Straits? Because that would make sense too. And that's where the band name comes from. And it comes from that exact feeling that I was singing, the walk of life, you know, here comes Johnny singing, da, da. But who knows what I was saying. But loving it with all my heart. That's my favorite thing about music.
Making Movies, covering Everybody Wants to Rule the World. Enrique Chi of Making Movies joining me today on Talkin' Music. Can we talk about activism a little bit? Can we talk about music as a tool? for enacting change?
I think in its central or its original state, music has always been a way to build community. When we look at like more indigenous communities, or you know, as far as we know about hunter-gatherer communities, it appears that music was often a thing that everyone did together. Right? There might have been a leader, but everyone hit the drum. Everyone danced the dance. Everyone sang the chant back. Right? Somebody might have to call the chant, but the whole community had to sing it back. And I feel that that sense of cohesion in a community is built by music participation. And so it's beautiful that we can make recordings and that we can build commerce out of music. I think there's a beauty there too. But in its original purpose for humans, this is my belief, not fact, my opinion, but its original purpose for humans, I feel, was to connect us, was to break down those barriers. So we never thought of it as activism, but we saw a hole in Kansas City, and there was a gap. Like, there wasn't inner city music programs, and maybe there was some, but maybe there weren't in the communities that we were seeing. Like, there's an immigrant neighborhood that had a bunch of need and not a lot of cool stuff for kids to do. We started a one-week music camp 12 years ago. Then that grew for 5-6 years. Then we had an opportunity, like Ozo Motley, we had become friends with them. And they're like, hey, we want to come play Kansas City. We're like, wait, we have an idea. What if you all play? We could have the kids perform, have a mini festival. This was like 10 years ago. And then little by little, it grew into an organization. Now there's after-school programs and in-school programs that under the Rebel Song Academy name, which is that basically that music camp, just systematized and organized so it could replicate. And there's semester-long programs. And we have this music festival that's free for the community. So I've learned how to, like, raise money from, you know, wealthy businesses and individuals and organizations that will be willing to invest in bringing a free festival to a neighborhood in Kansas City, the center of the United States, a very like segregated community historically, but this one neighborhood, it's weird, right? Segregation made white flight happen. I don't know if you're familiar with that concept, but where people, when they desegregated schools, people didn't want their kids to go to school with black folks, with black kids, so they would leave for the suburbs. Kansas City has no geographic barrier, right? Mm. It's just in the plains. So you can sprawl as much as you want, and it did. They left vacant this really beautiful urban neighborhood with really nice architecture and nice parks, was left kind of abandoned. And then it was repopulated, some by the black folks that had been in Kansas City, but by Mexican immigrants, and then eventually refugee resettlement. So in a 3-mile radius, it speaks 115 languages. It's like a Brooklyn neighborhood, but in the Midwest. It's called the Historic Northeast. And it's, you can see downtown from the neighborhood. It's right in the urban core. And I live there, and we put the festival right in the park there. And it's a challenge to invite the Afghan community to come. Like, the first time we did the festival, I could tell they felt like they were, like, afraid of it. It was a free event. There's no gates to enter, but they were like, oh, is this for us? It's a challenge because you have these different cultures. But I feel like we're participating in this idea. If the United States is this experiment, like some people say, it's a concept of what happens if you bring people from all over the world under a philosophy, not a because based off of their people group, you know, can we build a collaborative and functioning society? Like, to me, that festival, the festival we curate, is my way to participate in that experiment. Can we do this? Can we build a beautiful community with all these different cultures and nuance to it?
Hmm. And have you seen the interactions change over the years of folks coming to the festival consistently or coming and feeling a little more comfortable or a little more welcome? What has that been like?
Yeah, absolutely. Some folks have said it's the most diverse event they've ever been to in our city. And you can see, like, the park has, we had a soccer tournament and stuff. So you'll have young girls in hijabs and stuff playing in the park at the same time as Mexican families and Vietnamese families. And then because the music scene in Kansas City has supported us, we also have just like music fans, you know, NPR listeners, that kind of stuff that come out. And it's really beautiful to see that diversity and joy, everybody having a good time together.
Enrique, will you say the name of the festival again and when it happens?
It's Celebrate Americana, and it happens in the summer. It'll be like late July or early August next year.
And is it Americana with a K?
Americana with a K. Yeah, Celebrate Americana with a K. And you can find information online.
That's Enrique Chi of the Kansas City-based band Making Movies joining me today on Talkin' Music. To find out more about Making Movies, you can visit their website, makingmovies.world. We're going to close out the show today with Porcelina featuring Tennis. Enrique, thank you so much for making time to chat with us.
You're very welcome. Ella camina al revés, Porcelina, y me jura que ha visto esa torre de Babel. Ella sabe que la vida es mucho más que hincapié. Y me escribió este poema ahí en un pedacito de papel.
Vagando sin rumbo en la vía de tren. Sé que crees que nadie ve tus temores, que nadie te entiende. Ya cambia esa cara, no ves que todo saldrá bien.